Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Think Orange podcast.
A podcast with ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
Here are your hosts, Dave Adamson and Ashley Bohens.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Think Orange podcast. My name's Dave.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are so glad that you are joining us in the Think Orange bunker right here live in Atlanta, where the weather is absolutely amazing. Ash, how have you been this week? Have you done anything interesting, been any interesting places, any interesting parties or anything like that?
Yes, I've been on the road with Orange Tour. I've been able to hang out in Seattle and LA and Denver.
Wow.
Yes, it's been amazing. I've met so many cool people.
You are quite the traveler. And as you've been traveling around with
I'm a traveler. Do you know that song?
No, I don't. Sing a little bit more.
Chris Stapleton. That's the name of it. I can't remember anything besides I'm a traveler.
Well, I'm glad that you introduced us to that song, regardless if only you only know three words from
the
song.
Title of the song, guys.
Well,
I can sing along with it, okay?
As you've been traveling around, have people been talking to you about this pod?
Yes, I have. And I've had some people actually come up to me and sing me some of the songs.
No.
Yes. Now, it's been incredible.
Now the next tour stop, they're going to be coming up to you singing three words. I'm a traveler.
I actually had somebody come up to me and they were like, I love Disney too. I listened to your podcast all the way here to the tour stop. And I was singing along Disney with you. And I was like, I love you so much. And it was a guy.
Well, just in case you're wondering, this is the Think Orange podcast, not the Ashley Sings Disney podcast. We're so glad. That would be a great podcast, though.
It would be, but you know what? I sing more than just Disney.
I think I would listen
to it. I'm a whole jukebox.
You sing some Chris Stapleton, but only a little bit. We are so glad that you're part of this podcast with us. Ash, what have we got coming up today?
We're actually going to be hearing from Brittany Compton Robertson and Cass Brannon.
Yep.
Cass is the preschool minister at Calvary Tuscaloosa, and Brittany is the director of preschool strategy at Orange.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be hearing a clip from Cass that he gave at a recent Orange event, but we had the opportunity to interview Brittany right here in the bunker with us.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for our listeners to hear that interview, because what Brittany will never tell you is how much experience she has in preschool ministry.
She was very humble.
Oh my goodness. She's the most humble person, but she is so wise and so knowledgeable and so passionate. She knows her stuff. She knows preschool ministry. She knows how to best partner with families and parents. She knows what she's called to and who she's called to.
Yeah. And with over a decade of working experience with preschoolers, she is definitely an expert. Got a whole lot to share with all of us. Now, preschool ministry just doesn't get the respect they deserve. Don't you think that?
I do. I feel like they're kind of like the unsung heroes of the church world, because often people don't recognize the value of preschool ministry until they look around and all of a sudden there's no young families in the church and they're like, where did all our young families go?
Yeah.
And it's like, hello, you need a better preschool ministry.
Well, as we said in a recent podcast, that age group, you know, the biggest group in any church at the moment is parents with young kids.
Yeah. I mean, imagine how many young families come and visit churches, and the trust it takes to hand your preschooler off to people you don't really know or a ministry you don't really know. I mean, it takes a lot more trust with a preschooler than it does with a teenager.
I completely agree. And that's why I love talking to Brittany, because she gave a little bit of that insight into what makes her tick, somebody like her tick, which just made me feel even more comfortable about dropping off my kids.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into hearing from Cass and then from Brittany, I just want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Orange Curriculum, which is helping you become smarter, kinder, and louder so that your ministry can be more empathetic, more strategic, and more effective. Now, Ash, if you want a free month of curriculum and a free training video, do you know where to go?
Oh, yes.
TryOrangeFree.com. TryOrangeFree.com.
Yes, and you can try curriculum from any of the age groups, preschool, children's, or teenagers.
Really?
Middle or high. Yep.
That's pretty good. So that's a free month of any curriculum that you want and a free training video. You can pick it up at TryOrangeFree.com. Let's get straight into it. What do you think?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, take it away, Cass.
Sometimes we need to do some evaluating of our to-do list in light of the strategic job description. Sometimes we just need to step back and go, all right, here's everything I have to do. And your list and my list are all a mile long. And every time you cross something off, you add something right back on there. And it's a never-ending to-do list. But if we evaluate that and what we do in the light of a strategic plan and a strategic job description, that'll make that to-do list a lot better. There's two principles that I want us to look at first. First is to maximize your strengths and minimize your weaknesses. I think for a lot of us, and a lot of times, if you've been in an interview or something, and you are done a strengths finder or something like that, you find out what you're good at, but you also find out what you're not good at. And a lot of times you go, I'm not good at this, and so I need to spend more time on this because I'm not good at it. And I need to become better. But when we do that, when we minimize, when we focus more on our weaknesses, we forget about what we're really good at. It's okay to be weak in some areas. And it's okay to work on those areas. Absolutely. But we have got to maximize on what you're good at. And leave the things that you're not good at and work on those. But bring to the forefront the things you're really good at. Maybe you're a really good admin person and you don't really like standing in the hallway and greeting everybody and putting on a face and all of that. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you're the opposite like me and I dread admin stuff. I do not like it. In fact, I hate it. I love to stand in the hallway and hang out with kids and give high fives and give hugs and ask people how they're doing. And I love that part of it. I love that. But admin stuff still has to get done. We'll lead to the second principle. Your lack of skill doesn't eliminate your responsibility. Just because you're not good at it doesn't mean you are not responsible for it. And so it's really, really important that we invite people in to our circle, whether it's someone on staff or a volunteer or a friend or a parent or whoever it is, to take those things that you are not good at and to walk beside them and to help them do those things. Because just because you're not good at it, you're still responsible for it. It still has to happen, and it still has to happen well. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Know what you're good at and then find other people to fill those gaps that you have. Know what you're good at. If you don't know what you're good at, ask the people that are around you. You see, about 11 years ago, I didn't know that I was good with preschoolers. I didn't. I had no idea. And I was in this place going, I'm just trying to get a job. And I want to get a job and I want to have a family and I want to do all of this stuff. But then I started to listen to the people around me. And they're going, you're really good with kids. You're really good with kids. You're really, and I started going, maybe I am. I didn't even know. And now almost 11 years later, I absolutely love it. And I didn't even know that's what I was good at. But there's a lot of things I'm not good at. And I have to invite people in and fill those gaps that I have. But really, when it boils down to it, you're either a people person or you're a production kind of person. You fall into one of those things. Yes, you do both of those things. We do both of those things really, really well. But you fall into one. You lean one way or another. You might even be 51-49. Some of you are like 90-10. And that's okay. But you fall into one of these things. If you just had to guess, who are our people people? That's funny. People people. And then who are our production people? And some of y'all don't even know yet because you didn't raise your hand And that's cool too. You don't even know. And so what we're going to do is we're going to just look at these 12 things. They're all written up there. We're going to look at them a little bit different. But we're going to start with the people. We're going to start on that end. And the very first thing, and like Barbara said, is a huge passion of mine. So number one under people is to support the family. You have no greater role in your church than to support the family. I think the greatest investment you and I can make are in the people that drop off the kids every single week. Whether that be mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, cousin, friend, stranger, it doesn't matter. Whoever the people are that are dropping the kids off in your church, you have got to have a plan and support them and help them win at home. If you did nothing else, I think you would still win at your church. If you help them win at home, you have a huge platform. You have the greatest platform. Because there's people that are bringing their children to you and they don't know you. And they're dropping off kids in rooms and they don't know those people either, especially those new mamas that have that brand new baby. And they don't even put them down themselves. And now you're saying, hey, we want you to drop your child off with strangers and go sit in a service, and we got this. That's weird. Have you ever really thought about that? Here's what I want you to try next time. If you have who has kids, little babies, oh, a lot of you, awesome. Next time you go to the grocery store, go to the clerk on number two and say, hey, I'm going to be back in about an hour, but can you hold him for just a minute? He'll cry a little bit, but hey, he needs a new diaper. You could feed him at about 11:30. That'll be good, but I'll be back. I'll be on aisle four. That would be weird, but that's what parents do at your church. They drop their child off and go, and that's the platform that you have. And so it's really, really important that you build a place of trust. Because if they don't trust you, they're not going to leave their kids with you. If they don't trust the men and women in your classrooms, they're not going to leave their boy and girl in the classroom. You've got to build some trust. You've got to reinforce them. You've got to support them in whatever it is. And you know this, some parents have some crazy requests. But sometimes they're just in a life situation that's hard. And you have to support them. And you have to lean into them. There was one mom at our last church, and she had twin little girls. Fabulous family. One of the little girls was born with no eyes, drawn to a wheel, at that point just being held, now in a wheelchair. But our baby volunteers, and now she's two, and she's still in that baby classroom because she can't go anywhere. They learned how to use the feeding tube. They learned how to do all of that. And that mama could walk in every Sunday, drop her child off. She knew one of the two same ladies were going to be there to hold that baby, to press the button on the feeding tube so that baby got fed. And that mama knew this was a place I could trust. And those are people inside that classroom I can trust. And by doing that, we help them win at home. Because there's other people that love them and care for them. And it has to be a partnership. It's got to be a partnership. That's what Orange is all about. Orange isn't a curriculum. It isn't anything like that. They're not going to try to stand here and sell you curriculum. That's not what they do. Here's what they want you to know and understand here at Orange. How many first-time people do we have? Ooh, a lot of you. Awesome. Here's what they want you to know. Orange is about a partnership between the church and the home. That's it. Now, there's a lot of things behind that, but that's what this is all about. It's about a partnership between the home and the church. And the church only gets about 40 hours with a child every year. And the home gets over 3,000 hours with a child every year. And so it's obvious who needs the support. It's not you. It's not your budget. It's not your classrooms. It's not those rickety tables. It's not the outdated toys or the dirty toys or the dirty floor or the cleaning crew that just doesn't seem to come back and clean the rooms after you've been in there or any of that. It's about helping moms and dads win at home and partnering with them. That's what it's about. And that's what we need to do. One of the greatest ways that we help our parents win at home is through our Baby D celebration with them. It's a beginning point. It's a starting point for these families where we can invest in them. And that's where they really begin to hear for the very first time in our church that, hey, we're on your team. We want to partner with you. We want to help you win. We want to walk beside you. And that's where they hear that for the very first time. And then we lead them through, hey, if you stay with us, here's what your child's experience will be at our church. That's awesome to hear.
Well, there was some great stuff there from Cass Brannan, and just to unpack that a little bit more, I'm joined now in the bunker by my co-host, Ashley.
What's up, everyone?
Ashley's back. It's so good to have you here.
I miss you, friends.
How have you been?
Hey, it's been crazy busy.
That's good, right? Busy's good.
Yeah. Have you been surviving without me, Dave?
Barely surviving without you. And to help get us through this episode and unpack the whole preschool thing is the Orange Director of Preschool Strategy, Brittany Compton. Hey, Brittany.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I did not know that this was a bunker.
Bunker, Britt. Bunker.
So please explain.
Well, this
what is a bunker? Bunker.
It's a bunker. It's where we record our Think Orange podcast.
Like Bunk-O?
No.
No, that's like an old bunk, person's game, I think.
Bunk-er.
Like you take cover. Like you're together in a shelter and you're talking about really important life-changing things.
There's nobody I would rather be in a shelter with talking about preschool.
I don't think that's going to catch on. The Think Orange shelter.
I don't think that's a good explanation.
No, the Think Orange bunker is better. Well, Brittany, you are a fantastic friend of the pod, and you're here with us to talk about preschool and to unpack some of the stuff that Cass talked about. What is it that you love about preschool so much? Preschoolers.
Yeah, preschoolers. They're awesome. They're just fun. They're full of life. They are just little sponges that are going to absorb everything. But I love the most about it is that you, when you're working with preschoolers or having preschoolers in your church, in your ministry, that is the most important ministry of the church, in my opinion. But also just because this is like their first gateway into the church. So yeah. You are laying the foundation of what church is and why kids love to go to church and why they're going to want to go back to church when they're five and why they'll want to go back when they're in fourth grade or seventh grade. So I just love that we're teaching them that this is a fun place. It's a loving place. And then just teaching the early foundations of our loving Heavenly Father and that He wants to be their friend and that it is an important, just such an important step for them.
Brittany, do you find that there are people who are preschool people and people who just aren't preschool people?
Definitely. You have to like to smile.
like
preschoolers.
She's such a ray of sunshine, isn't she?
Listen, Brittany is sunshine. She makes every room she walks into better.
I know. I can see it already.
Well, I would say that, yes, being a preschool person, you have to be willing to get messy and have fun and get down at their level and play and jump and sing and dance with them.
Which is, such an important part of people who listen to this who are in that student environment and the kids' ministry environment. Are you looking for that when you're looking for volunteers in preschool ministry?
Am I looking for people that are happy?
Yeah, that sort of vibe that you just described.
Would you take an angry volunteer?
Yes. Probably. That's the negative approach to it.
Yeah, I probably would put them in the resource room preparing the materials for Sunday. But no, you definitely, because again, if you are the first door for people coming into the church, especially a brand new family, if they drop their child off and they're not greeted with a warm smile or a hello, or the kid screaming and crying because it's a different person on the other end every week, then eventually the family is just going to stop coming to church because it's just too hard. Because it's, I mean, it's so hard to get out the door anyway in the morning to get the shoes on. And our good friend over here knows how hard it is to get to church. But yeah, so when you get there, you want to welcome them and make it such a great, fun, engaging place that makes preschoolers want to be there, which then in turn makes parents want to be there.
Brittany, you said something I think that's really important for our listeners to hear a little bit more about. You mentioned the importance of having a consistent person that the preschoolers dropped off to.
Yes, and I feel like sometimes the preschool world is looked at maybe as childcare or babysitting, and we never want to view it like that because we need consistent leaders that are committed and dedicated to make it a great program. And for the consistency, I would use the analogy of Santa Claus. You've got to love those pictures where you see preschoolers sitting on Santa's lap and they are screaming their heads off and they're running away. And I'm sure we all have a photo like that. And it's so confusing because Santa's supposed to be the nicest man in the world. He gives everyone presents. But he's a stranger to these preschoolers. He's not consistent in their life. So they don't like him. They would much rather hang out with Miss Becky, who is always in the, you know, barnyard room waiting for them to come to their to see her every Sunday.
Yeah.
And I would imagine if that's the experience that a family has when they drop their preschooler off, they're only going to do that so many times before they stop coming and think, oh, I'll just wait until a little bit later in life.
Right. And by the time, if you wait till later in life, then you've missed out on those key foundational years of which you want to and just instill the love for church, but also teaching them the basics that God made them, God loves them, and Jesus wants to be their friend forever. And I think that if we wait and you take your child later when you feel like they're ready, kindergarten, first grade, it's still going to be a scary new environment because they've never been. And then they're going to be just starting without that solid foundation.
Hey, you, Brittany, you said something, and you said it real quick, but I wanted to circle back to it. We were talking about you know, preschool people being super happy, and we don't want somebody who's grumpy. But you said something, and I know you kind of said it in jest, but I think there's wisdom behind it. You said you would have a person who's not as effervescent, maybe doing something like photocopying, I think is what you said. But I wanted to unpack that because you don't have to be great with preschoolers to serve in a preschool ministry, right?
Not at all. And we know how important preschool ministry is. And so you want to be involved. If it's a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or just a wonderful person that loves loves the church and knows how important it is to invest in the next generation but may not like getting down on the ground and playing with the kids or getting messy. So a great place for them, I always say, is the resource room where they can help prepare the supplies that you're going to need every week.
That's good.
To make it a great day. You need, you know, the crafts prepared and the snacks prepared to make it a memorable day and the best day of these kids' week.
That's really good.
So for any listeners, Brett, who are desperate for volunteers in their preschool ministry, and let's say those ministries cannot, or those volunteers cannot be consistent. What is worse, not having a volunteer or having a volunteer who's not consistent?
I just think it's worth the battle. It's just worth the fight. So find people to join your team to help you grab the right people, to help you recruit and build teams of people that will be consistent. I guess I just wouldn't. I would never give up on this one. This one's definitely worth it.
Well, how consistent is consistent enough? Like every week, or is every other week consistent enough for a preschooler?
A preschooler is definitely every week. And then just be prepared when people are going to have to go on vacations. You know, have those good people that can jump in and be a sub. Maybe those are the people that can't serve every week. But you really want those same people that are going to invest in your child every week, that will send them a little postcard in the mail for their birthday, that will send them a postcard when they haven't seen them for 2 weeks, just saying that they are known and they are loved and that they are missed.
And this is so important because the preschool years is really when the foundation is laid for the kids' spiritual development, for spiritual growth, right?
Definitely. If you look up some of like George Barna's statistics, show how morals and values are in place for every child by age 9, I believe.
Wow.
And so they're in preschool ministry for the first 5 of those years. And also, I think see, there's just so much more that kids understanding a greater faith after age 12 just drastically decreases. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Really, like, your preschool years are your prime years to lay that foundation and grab those hearts.
Okay, so we've talked about how amazing preschool opportunities are, and we've talked about how awesome and sponge-like preschoolers are. I just want to talk bluntly as a dad here. The preschool years just were difficult. This is when they're running around like chickens with their head cut off. This is when everything's messy. This is when our house looks like a bomb just went off in it. Like, it's tough. What advice do you have?
You needed a bunker.
We did. We needed a parent bunker. That's what we needed. But it's true. It's true. It's such a tiring time. It's when you're running on the least amount of sleep. I mean, sometimes I was just like, I'm done. What advice would you have for the parent who's listening to this right now? Mm-hmm. And they're thinking, they're going, oh, thank you, Dave, for calling something out that I've been. What advice do you have for preschool parents right now?
I think just try one thing at a time. And I guess the advice would be a little bit more for the church or partner. The parent should partner with the church.
Yeah.
And the church is going to give you these great resources to help you just do a little bit each day, because you want to keep that conversation going. So we have the amazing resource called the Parent Cue. There you will find ideas for just a little ways and activities to do with your kid when you're in the bath time, because you're going to do that every day anyway.
Yeah.
Or at mealtime or at bedtime, just a couple of words to say or questions to ask, a few activities to do.
Yeah.
We definitely love to help encourage parents to play with their kids and to play with a purpose.
Yeah.
So you can get down and get all sorts of crazy, messy, and still tie it back to a great big faith.
Yeah. Now, Parent Q is an app that Orange has put out. It's available on iTunes, Google Play, wherever it is that you get your apps. Check that out. Parent Q, C-U-E. I've got that, and I know it's so helpful. I know one of the things we say around Orange is think with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to call out. I just called out my kids. They're teenagers now, and they're amazing. They're the best. No, they're still. It's still hard. But Parent Q is helping. Parent Q is helping so much.
And this pod is.
Yeah, and you know what? It actually is, because I get to sit around the table with some amazing people who've taught me so much about parenting. You've seen how many notes I take during this thing. It's incredible. So I just wanted to call out Parent Q app, C-U-E, and it's not just for preschoolers. It's for any age. Get it at iTunes or Google Play.
Brittany, for any ministry leaders who are listening, how would a ministry leader go about getting their leadership to value preschool ministry more? If you had 1 minute with the lead pastor of a church, what would you say?
I think I would just really fast pull numbers. And because if you could pull the number of preschoolers you have in your church, then you add in 2 parents per preschooler, maybe 1 parent per preschool, then you add the grandparents and you add the aunts and the uncles, the amount of influence you have in that preschool environment is probably the largest area of influence you will have in that church.
That's awesome.
So pull some numbers. Show your lead pastor.
Similar sort of question. If you had 1 minute with a preschool ministry director, and this is a two-part, so I'm going to ask the first part and then we'll get to the second. You had 1 minute with them. What would you say to encourage them right now? Because they're listening. They're listening to this podcast.
I would tell them that it's worth it. It is a hard, tiring job, but it is so worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Second part of the question.
Yes.
If you had 1 minute with the same ministry leader to talk to them about the importance of partnering with parents, especially clearly parents like I was and was struggling during the preschool years, what would you encourage that director to do with the parent or say to the parent?
Oh, I would say, well, first of all, don't give up. Partner with the parent, because we only have 1 hour a week and the parent we know has so many more. But I would say give the parent some positive encouragement.
Yeah.
I'm just a true advocate for positivity, but just to encourage them that what they're doing is great and it's worth it. Because so many times you'll arrive at church and the kids will be in mismatched shoes and a shirt with cereal on it.
That was me when I was taking my kids to preschool.
Exactly.
I wasn't the kids.
Parents might look like that.
Mismatched shoes, yes. Cereal all over me.
Yes.
So,
it was terrible.
Right. So just say a positive, or just let them know that they are doing a good job, that they made it to church that day.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something that we all have our perfect end in mind, but just let them know that they made it. And if you could do one thing outside of church this week, if you could talk to your kid in the car, or if you could, you know, do an activity with them in the bath, that they are winning as a parent.
Yeah.
Britt, if you had 1 minute to talk to somebody, because you mentioned this before about people thinking preschool ministry is babysitting. Oh. You had 1 minute to talk to someone who thought preschool ministry was babysitting. What would you say?
I would just clearly show them how it's laying the foundation for a greater spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm. What about those students who aren't in church when they're in preschool?
I just think they have a little more catch up to do,
mm-hmm.
because if you're starting that much later, you probably haven't learned that God made you with a purpose, and that God loves you, and that you have value and worth, because we know teenagers struggle with that so much.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to start with that with our preschoolers and teach them that there is a great big God that loves them so much.
So you're a preschool expert. In your humble opinion,
yes.
You have a program that you are going to put together.
Mm-hmm.
What best practices and what would you include in that time frame?
I guess when we're talking about like a Sunday morning, definitely make sure we include movement activities, engaging music and dance, definite art projects and activities where they can get their hands messy and tactile activities. We definitely, with First Look, develop much with preschool in mind of developmental approaches and what a preschooler needs developmentally to grow. And I also would just overly emphasize the partnering with parents.
Mm-hmm.
This year, because we were so passionate about it, we developed something a little different with our music strategy, whereas we started to make a CD that you can send home with your parents so that the kids can sing the same music at church on Sunday mornings and then sing it along in the car.
And I heard this CD. It is so good. Everybody Sing? Is that what we're talking
about? That is it. And it's on Amazon Music and iTunes and the Orange Store. But I'm guessing when Dave's kids were preschoolers, he probably couldn't quite understand all the words they were saying to the songs. And
plus it was on cassette.
Oh.
No, it wasn't. I'm kidding. It was still CD.
I'm going to sing you a part of one of the songs on that album.
Yeah, I don't know.
I heard you promised to sing.
I'll tell you my favorite song on that Everybody Sing album. It goes, "It's time to wash me hands, it's time to wash."
Is that real? "It's time to wash me hands." Yeah. Is this a pirate singing?
It's like Irish song.
Do you believe that it's real, Dave?
It's my favorite song on the thing. I seriously sing it with my niece.
It's a legit song. It's
really
fantastic.
So
I think it's every adult's favorite song.
So this is something, it's available on CD, but I can get it at iTunes as well.
Correct. And so that's this is so just another way to help parents win.
Yeah.
To just help, because if a preschool is going to sing it and dance to it, they're going to remember it more. So we put some great basic spiritual truths into a really fun album of music for kids and parents to sing together.
That's so good.
So I'm a representative of the student world.
Yes.
So for volunteers in a preschool ministry, what is the youngest age student?
Such a good question.
That you think should be working with preschoolers?
I guess I would say it's probably more of an age gap. So if you have a sixth grade student that wants to work with kids, they can work with preschoolers, but you probably don't want that sixth grader working with a fourth or a fifth grader.
Mm-hmm.
So for student ministries, they can all work with preschoolers. When it comes to the really young babies, parents are probably a little more protective.
Right.
So generally, if it's like those first few months nursery, you definitely have over 18-ish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But students are the perfect people because they're the ones that want to get down and play with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like any age student is great with those preschool kids.
How much alignment do you think a preschool ministry needs to have with an elementary ministry, with a middle school, high school?
They need to be completely aligned because you want what you're teaching your kids in preschool to then be built upon when they're in elementary and all the way through high school.
So it's really preschool is where the momentum starts, and then it gets relay battened off to elementary and then middle school.
That's perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
What are some of the most common stumbling blocks you've heard when it comes to preschool ministry?
I think just the vocabulary of using childcare or babysitting. So letting people know that that is not what you're doing. I think, again, we've got these great prime years and you don't want to waste them.
Mm-hmm.
This is when your parents are most hungry. They're needing the most guidance. They have the most time.
Yeah.
So you want to really value that. So this is when you want to start teaching them how to use parent resources.
Yep. And I'm sorry, Kevin here, guys. I just want to insert myself. And they're all, as a new dad, I'm going to tell you, we're also the most ignorant. I can say that. Brittany's too kind to say that because she's a ray of sunshine, as we said.
Yeah.
But I'll say it. And as an, I mean, not only my hunger for information, I'm incredibly ignorant and coachable.
Yeah.
And if I'm honest, Brittany, I mean, you know, you might say, well, I might have my daughter Arden more than Brittany would.
Yeah.
But at the time Arden's born, Brittany has more experience with kids Arden's age than I do.
Right.
Yeah. Right. She, so she's been doing it every Sunday for, well, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah.
And I have Arden for 4 months. So I think there's a confidence that Brittany has as well, and other preschoolers would have that I would be seeking. So I just want to make sure I say that, because I'm like, I can call new parents out without feeling any guilt.
That's our producer, Kevin. You can jump in anytime, right? Anytime.
He is a preschool expert now, too.
No, I'm not. That was the point. I'm really about as ignorant as they come.
So guys. I think your point, Kevin, though, is that if you're a parent, don't drop off for babysitting. Like, you're dropping off with an expert who wants the best for your child in their spiritual development as well as their overall development, right?
Yeah, and they want to be there and partner and be with the parent, help the parent win. So they're going to give them resources, give them ideas, and cheer them on every single Sunday, be there for them.
Now, I'm sure, like, you know, I look at the preschool people at my church, and I mean, they're absolutely incredible. But I imagine that it must be a ministry, a volunteer opportunity where you feel a bit lonely at times. Maybe you've got some scars from past ministry wounds and things like that. Where can people go for help, for assistance, for advice?
Oh, that is a great question. Well, this podcast, number one, right?
Good answer.
Share the podcast.
I think just constantly we are developing more leader resources for preschool leaders.
Yeah.
And I just think that we also build it right into our curriculum. So there's a little bit of an encouragement, a devotional for the leader before they jump in when we produce our first look curriculum. Yep. So we say, hey, you know, leader, yep, you're tired. Here's a couple words that are going to help you digest this message for the week and how it's going to help you in your own life. And now here's how we're going to put this into action to make it come to life for the preschoolers.
And is there a website they can visit to get this?
thinkorange.com/first look.
thinkorange.com/first look.
Correct. Awesome. /. Always.
Britt, before we wrap up, I am curious, how did you become interested in preschool ministry?
Oh, that's a great question. Actually, I would say I started as a way too young. I was in fourth grade, but I became a preschool special needs buddy.
Mm.
So there was this new little guy that came to the church and they needed someone to just help him make it through the day, and my mom was super involved, and so I got to hop in, and I just probably from age 9 learned to love that particular age group of kids at the church.
And how long were you doing that for at that age?
I never stopped serving.
You never stopped?
No.
Until she turned the next age.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Are you asking how old I am?
No. Sorry. No, what? No, that was more of a did you lose interest in it, but it sounds like you clearly
never
didn't.
Yeah.
Well, Brittany, we just are so thankful that you were able to bring just a ray of sunshine into this bunker of ours. Didn't she just pretty this whole place up?
You just said it the way I do, bunker.
No, it's because I said it mid-sentence. It's a thing. Don't worry about it. But thank you so much, Brittany, for coming into the bunker and spending some time with us. I'm sure that there are a bunch of people who are listening to this today who got so much encouragement out of what you had to share, especially those one-minute questions. Ash, that was really good.
Yeah, I know.
I really like that. That was so good. Now, we're going to have all of all the links and some highlights of what Brittany shared in our show notes, so make sure you check them out as well. Thank you so much. You're awesome.
Thanks for having me.
I love Brittany because I believe that she actually loves what she does with all of herself. It's fabulous.
It's so obvious. Even if you don't, you know, obviously with a podcast, you can't see her face and how it lit up whenever she talked about what she does. But I think it comes through even in her voice, right?
Right.
She's so sunshiny.
She is. She's like sunshine on a cloudy day.
She sure is. And had so much wisdom to share as well. You know, one of the things, as she was talking, one of the things that I was processing was this. My kids are a little bit older now, and I don't think I fully appreciated the impact that a preschool person like Brittany can have until my kids were older and they started to recite some of that stuff that I realized had become such a foundation of their faith. I don't think I realized that when I was in it because you're so in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're dealing with getting your kids to the right place, wrestling them into the car and making sure that they're clean and everything like that. But now that they're out of that, some of the stuff that they share about their faith, I know that the seeds were planted in preschool.
Mm.
And so that was, I just loved hearing it from that point of view.
So if you could go back to that time as a parent, what would you do?
I would hug my preschool as a teacher a lot more. I would be so much more appreciative because I think sometimes what you do is you drop them off and the temptation is to just leave.
Right.
And it's just part of the season that you're in. But I would, you know, for anybody who's listening who's ever looked after any of my kids, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for building that foundation. And if the seeds that you planted continue the way that they are, you have helped me develop and grow a remarkable couple of kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had two thoughts when I was listening to Brittany share her heart. Was I personally don't have any children, but I became an aunt 3 years ago to a little girl named Bia. And so that's my really only experience, like having a preschooler that, you know, I would care about what happens in their preschool ministry, which sounds totally terrible, but you know what I mean. And, you know, asking a preschooler, who made you so beautiful? And their response being God, you know, or like, I just feel like there's something so beautiful about that childlike faith that gets instilled in them at that age. And I don't think I ever appreciated it fully until I had that experience with her.
Then
secondly, I was thinking being in student ministry or youth ministry, I am challenged because I don't know if I look back, if I worked enough with our preschool director, like thinking about the building blocks that they are building, like I felt challenged, like, did I appreciate that role enough to have enough conversations with them?
Yeah, I think that's good. So I would like to say this, if you're listening to this podcast and you're working with preschoolers, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all the hard work you put in. Thank you for the tireless effort you put in. But if you're listening to this and you aren't the preschool person, but you know the preschool, go and give them a hug from Ashley and I.
Please.
Go and give them a big hug, pat them on the back and tell them that they're doing a fantastic job because they do fantastic work.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. Remember, as always, we would love it if you left a review on iTunes. It's so helpful in us sharing the word about this. Also, we would love it if you subscribed on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever it is that you're listening to this podcast from. And if you've got any questions, then make sure you go to thinkorangepodcast.com and share your questions, share your thoughts, share your ideas at the bottom of the page where there's a place for you to reach out and contact us. We can't wait to hear from you, right, Ash?
Yes, we love it.
Yeah, we would love that. And as always, remember, whenever you think next generation, think orange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Think Orange podcast.
Join us next time for more ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
For more episodes and show notes, visit thinkorangepodcast.com.